Okay, let's assemble ourselves. We finally got the electronics in order, so let's get right into it. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to shift gears from all that's been going on in your life in the day and settle down to start worshiping Him and His Word and understanding some very important things about His love. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Satan has done a masterful job at polluting and distorting your love, making it what it is not, and not making it what it is. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to understand it. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, first thing that you have, let's go through this first. Franklin Graham said this. It's not very long, but I think it's worth just at least noting at the beginning of class. Time is like a river. You cannot touch the water twice because the flow that has passed will never pass again. Franklin Graham was speaking at the First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, when he said America will not come back. He wrote, "The American dream ended on November the 6th, 2012. The second term of Barack Obama has been the final nail in the coffin for the legacy of the white Christian males who discovered, explored, pioneered, settled, and developed the greatest republic in the history of mankind. A coalition of blacks, Latinos, feminists, gays, government workers, union members, environmental extremists, the media, Hollywood, uninformed young people, the forever needy, the chronically unemployed, illegal aliens, and other fellow travelers have ended Norman Rockwell's America. You will never again outvote these people. It will take individual acts of defiance and a massive display of civil disobedience to get back the rights we have allowed them to take away. It will take zealots, not moderates and shy, not reach across the aisle rhinos to the right to right this ship and restore our beloved country to its former status. People like me are completely politically irrelevant, and that includes us, and I will probably never again be able to legally comment on or concern myself with the aforementioned coalition, which has surrendered our culture, our heritage, and our traditions without a shot being fired. The Cocker Spaniel is off the front porch. The pit bull is in the backyard. The American Constitution has been replaced with Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and the likes of Chicago shyster David Axelrod, along with international socialist George Soros, have been pulling the strings on their age puppet and have brought us Act Two of the New World Order. The curtain will come down, but the damage has been done. The story has been told. Those who will come after us will once again have to risk their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to bring back the republic that this generation has timidly flittered away due to white guilt and political correctness." My response is, I received an email, and it based the fact that the rapture is going to occur on April, I think it's the 18th. Oh, yeah. And, huh? And he goes through and he talks a lot about Jewish history, and you got to understand, the church is not related to Israel in that sense. It's not going to be based on Israel's timetable. And then he related a lot of what's going on in America. People, America had a purpose in God's plan. It's over. Basically, it's over. We don't, this ideal of holding on, bringing it back, and all this, it's over. It played its part in history. And I believe this. We got in the Bible and language of the Bible into people that didn't even have a language. And we taught them, we had people go in and teach them their language, form an alphabet for them, and then put it in a Bible form and gave them the Bible. We've done this all over the world. Money made in America from American people, American missionaries, American trained people. And this is what we were for. And we've done it. And that can't be taken away. America's not in prophecy. It's not in the Bible. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not even in the be a player at the in the beginning of the tribulation. It's just not going to be a player. And we can see why it's not going to be a player. There are countries, not just Russia and China, other countries. I don't care about America anymore. I don't fear America anymore. We have all this great artillery, but we're run by sheep. And it'd be better to have, you know, the old saying, 1,000 sheep run by a lion than 1,000 lions led by a sheep. It's just, but we have to stay with what the Word of God is dealing with, people. And let's don't get built up and interpret history, interpret the Bible by American history. That's not to be done. It's not to be done. And I love this country. And as far as I'm concerned, if the rapture occurs on April the 18th or 28th, whatever it is, amen, great, let's go home. But if on May 1st we're here, well, we're here. And that'll be that. So it just, we have to deal with where we are and who we are one day at a time, each day. And there are just so many things going on in the last 150 years. I spent Sunday afternoon and most of Monday at the Holocaust seminar over at the University of Texas of Dallas. Absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Wonderful teachers. And people coming in from all over the world, really. And one of the speakers from Haifa College in Israel gave a wonderful talk on how during the period of the Holocaust, German theologians, Christian, Protestant, rewrote the New Testament, de-Judaizing it, taking out the Jewish as much as they could. And I was totally unaware of all of this. And I talked to Laura. Laura, you knew about all of that, and you read it from Bonhoeffer. And what's the name of the book? I think it's Bonhoeffer, because I have it, yeah. It's just Bonhoeffer. And it was just really great. Then, on top of that, after that, all day Sunday after I left here, all day Monday, and then Monday night, I started driving home. I'll just tell you right now, my wife had some family issues that she had to take care of. But Richard Wimbrandt and Tortured for Christ. And I drove home and am I being set up here, God? Are you know, all day yesterday and all day today and in the night this, and I'm just being saturated with this. And are you getting ready to torture me? And I decided, you know, when I was young and all that, I could have suffered for Jesus. Now I'm just going to die for him. Because if they start torturing me, I'm just going to say, go ahead, hit me, kill me, let it go. And Richard Wimbrandt, absolutely outstanding story. And I really encourage you to get the book, tortured for Christ. He was in Romania, which is north of Turkey and east of Germany, and he was. It wasn't the Germans. It was the communists that came in. And I mean, they were vicious. Vicious. He gave a talk on, he publicly stated, communism and Christianity cannot be compatible. And, you know, this is one thing that Christians aren't even brave enough to say about Islam and Christianity. All they can be together. And no, it can't. No, it can't. But because he said this, he was arrested one day, walking down the street. They stopped the car, put a black bag over his head, and put him in the car and took him off. And he suffered in torture for 14 years. And for 3 years, people, now think about this, 3 years, 12 feet underground, no light, 24 hours a day, no sound. The guards wore things on their feet or their shoes that they did not make a sound. 3 years. What he did to maintain his sanity was he formulated sermons. And he, in fact, he's written down, he remembered 250 of them that he gave. And he said, I gave them, just out loud. And nobody there, total darkness. And but it was just amazing. And then he reached a point where he realized, without knowing it, he realized, there are other people here and down the hall. And he, Morse code, and he started talking to them. Gave them the gospel. Right now, I'm in the midst of studying and getting ready for, not this coming Sunday, John Hintz will be here. But the following Sunday, we're going to study the crown of joy, which is the crown you're going to receive leading people to Christ. I can only imagine his crown in heaven, in the eternal city. It's going to be unbelievable. But he gave them the gospel, gave them hope, gave them encouragement, and talked to them. And but finally got out, was out for 3 years. They told him no more preaching. Well, he couldn't do that. He went to an underground church. They put him back down. And but a total of 14 years, and then he was purchased out of Romania, $10,000 put up by various mission boards. The usual cost was $1,900 a prisoner to get him out, $10,000. But they got him out, and they made his way to America, and he formed the Voice for Martyrs, and it is an outstanding magazine. If you don't get it, we get it. You should get that. And but just and his wife, Sabina. Sabina was also a prisoner and put to hard labor. They showed some of the torturing that she had to endure. And when she got out of that, they told her that her husband was dead. And, of course, she didn't believe it, but they told her that. And they made her have a funeral for him. They made her do it. I mean, she wasn't there like she wanted to do it. And they made her have a funeral for him, and but she didn't believe he was dead. And so as it turned out, he was not dead. They even put him under a pseudonym in the prison so that he couldn't be found. Not, they didn't give him his name, Richard Winbrand. They gave him a pseudonym. And but he got out and moved to America, California, and started the Voice of the Martyrs. But it just... You look at history, and especially the last 200 years. Of course, we could go through the whole church history, people. One of my favorite things to do is get up in the morning and look at secular history, what happened today, and then church history. And I'm telling you, without failure, every day, somewhere and sometime in history, Christians were martyred. Christians were killed. By the thousands, by the hundreds, by the one. And it just is amazing. The church history and martyrdom in church history. So, one of my favorite books is a world history book. And the most interesting thing in any world history book is a table of content. And just look at it. Nations come, nations go. Nations come, nations go. Nations come, nations go. And if the Lord tarries, and the rapture doesn't occur for another 100 years, America will come and go. England's come and gone. Germany's come and gone. They're still there. But as far as a main player, as far as history being something. So, you read a world history book, just read the table of content. Concentrate on it. Think about it. It'll just show you what's happened in history throughout the church age. And so we need to be more concerned about our position in Christ than about our position as Americans. And I love America. Understand this. I love Texas. But I'm a Christian, and you're a Christian. We need to understand that. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and for all eternity, what you're going to want to have is the crown of joy, the crown of exaltation. And that's going to be people that you've witnessed to and led to the Lord, walking on the streets of gold, living in the new heavens and new Jerusalem, new heaven and new earth, that you've witnessed to and led to and been a part of our missionary support, our teenage support of the youth camp, these kind of things. It's going to be an amazing day. You're going to be in heaven. And someone's going to come up to you. You don't know me, but I understand you went to Spring Valley Bible Church. Well, I became a Christian at Liberty Youth Camp. Thank you. And that's going to be such a joy, such exaltation. Forget about all of the things with nations and history. Think about people that you've led to the Lord, people that you've had a part of leading to the Lord and didn't even know it. Someone's going to come up to you. I think we all speak Hebrew in eternity. I don't know why, I just do. But come up to you. I was a person in India, and I believed in Jesus as my Savior through your broadcasting, Spring Valley Bible Church, through the Internet. Thank you. That's part of your joy. That's going to be your exaltation. That's going to be your crown. It's not a crown you wear on your head. It's a crown walking on the street. It's a crown living in the New Jerusalem. It's a crown living on the earth that you will have. And that will be your joy, your exaltation that we'll be studying next, not this coming Sunday, but 2 Sundays from now. And what we're doing tonight is we're looking at the love of God. People, it is just so important to understand love and understand it biblically, what it means. God loves the world of unbelievers, unrighteous, evil to the core. He loves them. His Son loves the Father. His Son loves members of the human race because His Father does. And in respect of His Father's love for us, He came to earth, took our place, and died on a cross for us, that we will spend eternity with His Father. See? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is understanding the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. People, it is not brotherly love, getting the world to love each other without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. It's not loving your neighbor. It's loving your neighbor in Christ. That's the issue. We're not here just to promote unity. We're here to promote loving Christ. and loving as Christ loved. This becomes such an issue. It's the love from God. It's the love of God. When you and I are empowered by the Spirit, and supernaturally that love flows through you, it's God's love. The greatest thing that God can do for you, is to, for us, is to make us like His Son. That's the most wonderful thing He can do. Not make you like somebody you admire in history, but make you like His Son. And He can do that, and He does do that, by giving us His Spirit. If we walk in His Spirit. It's amazing how many born-again believers have $1 million in the bank and don't even touch it. That's having the Holy Spirit inside of you and not even touching Him. Not calling on Him. What a waste. They struggle. Stay with my financial analogy. They struggle to pay the monthly bill. They struggle to pay this bill. They struggle for that bill. They got over $1 billion sitting in the bank. Don't even touch it. People, we have the Holy Spirit in us. You got to understand what that means. That power of having Him inside of you. Therefore, to conform to thinking and likeness of Christ, we're going to love as He loved. We're going to love as He loved. This can never be accomplished in the energy of the flesh. The energy of the flesh can never love as Christ loved. But by something man does, man can try his best to duplicate it, but the energy of the flesh can never produce the love of Christ. We cannot make this love happen. Even if you want it to happen, you can't make it. At best, we can have virtue love, which emphasizes man. It doesn't emphasize Christ, it emphasizes us. God has made it so simple for every one of us to have this love flowing through us, and that is by faith. He set everything in motion. You're saved, you're righteous, inside of you is the third member of the Godhead, and by faith you tap into Him 24 hours a day. Therefore, spiritual love glorifies Christ, not man. It glorifies God, not man. It draws attention to Jesus Christ, how He loves. Emphasis is the issue in regard to the new commandment. Love one another. It emphasizes the love of Christ, as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, love, we are commanded by Jesus Christ, does not depend on man. It depends on the Holy Spirit. It does not depend on the other person. It depends on the Holy Spirit. While spiritual love flows through you, while you manifest spiritual love, it is a love that focuses attention on the person of Christ, not on you. Not on you. Dependence of spiritual love is very important. If you're going to take notes, let's call this point one. Dependence of spiritual love. While spiritual love is for the believer, spiritual love is not dependent on relationships with one another. Spiritual love is not dependent on your relationship with unbelievers or with believers. It's extremely important, people. Let's take human love. Human love emphasizes the object of that love, that relationship with the object of your love. Are you worthy of my love? Or I'm just going to stop loving you. Or I will continue to love you. See? That's what human love does. It emphasizes the object, but not spiritual love. Spiritual love does not emphasize the object. While spiritual love is directed toward others, unbelievers and believers, family, friends, associates, even strangers. While spiritual love is directed toward them, it is not dependent upon them. Now, people, You watch a movie like Tortured for Christ. He loved the communist. He loved those that were beating him. How could you do that? How could you continue to do that? He was put into a little cell. He was commanded. He could not pray. Now, he didn't just go sit in the corner like I might do and say, ha ha, you don't see me if I'm praying. No, he's like Daniel. He's like Daniel. Got on his knees, folded his hands, and they looked at the little people, came out, took him out, and beat him, and beat him, and beat him. They beat him at the bottom of his feet. They took off the skin one day. They brought him back, and they did this with an iron bar. They came back the next day and took it to the bone. He had the pain of that for the rest of his life. But he didn't stop praying. And finally, the guard opened the gate, opened the door, and said, you're dead. Your wife is dead. Your son is dead. You're not going to get out of here. It's all over. Why are you praying? What are you? Who are you praying for? He looked at him straight in the face and said, for you. Now, I don't know if it was reality, historical, but the look on that guard's face, boy, that's what you want. He just looked at him. He couldn't believe it. That scared him. That scared him because he's an atheist. And it scared him. This man is so devoted to his God, and now he's praying for him. How could you do that, people? We're not talking about a human love here. We're talking about a supernatural love that doesn't depend on the object. Does not depend on the object. It doesn't matter how horrible the object is. It doesn't matter how evil the object is. All that it depends upon is your relationship with God the Holy Spirit. That's all that it's dependent upon. So, this is the great issue. While spiritual love is directed toward others, it is not dependent upon others. Let's look at Romans 5:8. Oh, by the way, my wife got me a new pulpit Bible with giant print. She got tired of mine. She said I needed a Bible that had the first couple of chapters of Genesis and the last couple of chapters of Revelation. So now I got it. All right. Now, let's look at Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His love, His own love, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now people, you can't read that as a human being. We understand other people are sinners like us. You're worse than me, but you're a sinner. See, we got that attitude. You've got to understand this from perfect righteousness. You've got to understand this from absolute perfection. And that while we were yet sinners, unrighteous, unrighteous in our being, unrighteous in our doing. And it says here, Christ died for us. That's how He demonstrated His love. Let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Not 8 and 9, but 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love. How about that? His love caused Him to be rich in mercy. With which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. The point I want you to understand is, we were dead. He is eternal life. We were dead in unrighteousness. And He loved us and gave Himself for us. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 4. go to the book of Revelation and go backwards, and you'll come to 1 John. First John chapter 4. Let's read verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's why we love Him. We didn't love Him, and therefore He responded to us. We respond to Him. We respond to His love. And finally, Revelation 1. Here are just a couple of pages from there. Revelation 1. By the way, it's not part of what I want to read tonight, but just note verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things written, which are written in it, for the time is near. It's a powerful verse in the Word of God. But our passage is verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. We were in sin. It didn't depend on us. His love did not depend on us. And your spiritual love doesn't depend on the object. Verse 5. He has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. That's our God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever, and so be it. People, this is the way he loves. This is the way God loves. This is the way Christ loves. This is the love that the Holy Spirit pours in us. It doesn't depend on the object. How can someone love someone that is beating them? How can someone love someone that is killing their family? How can someone love someone that does these things? It's the fruit of the Spirit, people. And you can do it. You can do it. Maybe you'll have to pray something that Schaefer, I love the way Schaefer said it. Lord, give me the desire to love. Because quite frankly, I don't desire it. They're bums. They're horrible people. I don't want to love them. Give me the desire to love. And I think God will answer and honor that prayer. It's a powerful prayer. So you can see from these few verses that spiritual love is a love given to us by God the Holy Spirit. This love does not depend on the object. Please remember that everyone who will spend eternity forever in a lake of fire are loved by God. We've got to understand this love. It doesn't take them out of that. It provided a way. And the reason they're going to spend eternity in punishment and in pain, they have chosen to reject God's love. They have said, no, I don't want His love. I don't believe in Him. I believe in another God who is not a God. But I don't believe in Him, and I don't want His Son. They've made that decision, but they're still loved by God. They're still loved by God. Now, they've passed the point where that love will make any difference. But that's what you and I, our message is right now to people. God loves you. That's what Richard Rembrandt pointed out. God loves you. Has a plan for you. Honey, listen, people, we have the greatest message to give to other people. Why are we silent? We wouldn't be silent. I compare this to various types of people and various types of businesses. For example, I've watched people in Herbalife for years. Go up to overweight. You care about how you look. Now, I got something that'll help you. Strangers. But we won't do that with the gospel. Which is more important? Losing 50 pounds or spending eternity with God? Which is more important? See, this is what we've got. We have the most important thing to give them. The most vital information to give them. So we should never back off with strangers, with people giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. While spiritual love is not dependent on our relationship with others, it is dependent on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is not dependent on our relationship with people. It is dependent on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. You live by faith, walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. He keeps pouring this love in you. And you reach the point where I can't do anything but tell someone about it. Richard Wurmbrand and many others like him, they can't help it. They cannot help but endure that suffering telling about Christ. And I've read of people throughout all history, the reason that they were killed, tortured, burned, drowned, because they loved the Lord. And they were not going to back off of it. It's like that quote I gave you from Harold O.J. Brown. It's easy to relieve the world's pressure on you. It's the easiest thing in the world. Just quit talking about Christ. Just back off. Leave Christ alone. And they'll leave you alone. See? But can't do that. If you have the power of the Spirit, you're walking by faith, you can't be quiet. You can be clever. You can be clever on how you do it, when you do it, as things get worse and worse. I think one of the most, Franklin Graham picked out Obama's second term. I think the nail was put in a lot of different times. In 1962, no prayer in public school. What kind of a law is that? What kind of a people tell children you can't pray together in school anymore? What kind of leadership? What is the thinking of an asinine person that would tell children they can't do that? Are we surprised at where we are today with our young people? Transgenders, homosexuals, murderers, all these things? Are we shocked? I'm not. You take away God. You take away Christ. You take away the cross. You left them nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're empty. They're empty. And they need to be told the truth. They need to be told these things about Christ, about His love, and about what happens. So just remember, spiritual love is not dependent on your relationship with other people. It's dependent on one thing, your relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is so important. Our familiarity with love, we so often think of the object of love. Think of our love toward a woman or toward a man, toward our parents, toward somebody. We love them. See? Well, you don't deserve my love anymore. I don't love you anymore. I'm going to go find me somebody else. It's all about the object. It's very oriented to the object. But when we think of spiritual love, we emphasize our relationship with God. God the Holy Spirit. We can destroy human love. They can do things to make us, cause us to stop loving them. I don't love you anymore. See? It may simply be, I found someone else I love. I don't love you anymore. I have found someone else. Then this person has to deal with that. But spiritual love is not one way. Spiritual love doesn't depend on the object. Spiritual love depends on the Holy Spirit. That's what it depended upon. See? So human love can grow cold. Not spiritual love. If spiritual love grows cold, let me tell you what's happened. You've stopped walking by faith in the Spirit. you stop being led of the Spirit, as Galatians 5, being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians, being led of the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. That's what you stop doing. If your love toward people has grown cold, it's because your relationship with the Holy Spirit has grown cold. It's not the people. It's your relationship with the Holy Spirit that has caused you. So if spiritual love stops, you stop walking in the Holy Spirit. Major point two. This introduces the characteristics of spiritual love. Spiritual love is a love that does not love in spite. Does not love in spite of, but because of. Spiritual love is a positive force, having positive impact on our life and our relationship with one another. Spiritual love loves because of our walk in the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do in spite of the other person. It isn't a matter. Well, in spite of the fact you hate me, in spite of the fact you hate my Savior, in spite of the fact you torture me, in spite of all that, I love. No, that's not spiritual love. I love you. And I love you because of the love the Holy Spirit gives me. Spiritual love is not in spite of what other people do. Spiritual love is because of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love is not tolerance. Spiritual love is not loving someone in spite of them, in spite of how they have wronged you, in spite of how evil they are. That isn't spiritual love. This is not what we're commanded. Loving someone in spite of themselves, you know what that leads to? That's arrogance. I love you. I don't care how you treat me. I'm so good. I love you. That's arrogance. Spiritual love is not arrogant. We're getting ready to start in Sunday morning first class. In great chapters of the Bible. I started it many years ago, didn't finish it. What is disrupted by the church disunity. I'm so thankful to get back to it now. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to go back through it now. Slowly. Richer than I did before. But you just have to understand, spiritual love doesn't love in spite of. Spiritual love loves because of the Holy Spirit. Romans 3. Make something very clear. That is the impact or the effect of spiritual love. Got to remember, spiritual love is a force. And as such, has impact or effect. It is important to recognize this impact, this effect of love. The effect or the impact of it is restoration, our being restored to God. That's what His love did to us. It restored us to Him. It reconciled us to Him. That tells you what this love is about. That tells you the impact of this love. What this love will do in your personal life. Your spiritual life. See, not condemnation, but restoration, reconciliation. See, condemnation is there, people. God recognizes we're sinners. That's His righteousness, His perfect righteousness. And He never has His love set aside His righteousness. His righteousness condemned us. His love said, all right, they're under condemnation, but I love them, and I'm going to give them a way out. I'll send my Son to die on a cross. And that if they believe in my Son, I will impute it. It's a genius plan. Unbelievable plan. All you have to do is compare it with religions of the world. Compare it with the Islamic religion. Kill, behead, demand, destroy, all these kind of things. Not God's love. Condemn them and then save them. Recognize who and what they are and then give them the option of salvation. That's His love. That's our love that we'll do. Not an abstract concept, people. This is historical reality. That's very important. Spiritual love is not an abstract something to be talked about in a philosophical manner. It is historical reality. Christ came. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. Christ offers life to everyone who believes. That's historical reality. That is reality. That is reality in your home, in your marriage, in your life. Jesus Christ demonstrated His love in reality of humiliation and death. It is reality. His humiliation is reality. His death is reality. And what brought about that death? It's love. This love has reality. See? So, the impact, the effect of this love is not condemnation. That's righteousness. Don't ever forget it. It's there. That's not His love. His righteousness had to condemn. And Satan understood that. Satan is the biggest proponent of law. Satan is the biggest proponent of righteousness. You've got to be righteous. Send them all to hell. Keep them all in My kingdom of darkness. And I said, no. I've got something you're not aware of, Satan. That's My love. Satan, to this day, does not understand that love and rejects that love. Just as many people in the world do not understand it and reject it. His love is discovered in scriptures where it is recorded. His love is demonstrated in lives of people throughout the Word of God, throughout the church age. You ever want to get some encouragement? Read Hebrews 11, the great hero chapter of the Bible. Just go through and read it and think about those people in the Bible. That is the reality of spiritual love in action. That brings us to Roman numeral 4, which we will begin with, not next Wednesday. I'll be in Houston at a pastor's conference. Please be in prayer for it. And then 2 weeks from tonight, from now, we will resume our study at point 4. So this is where we'll take it up. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't understand how You could love us. I don't even understand how You love us as believers. Because we fail You all the time. We fail You mentally. We fail You with our tongue. We fail You in our actions. And You still love us. We're so compelled by this love to tell others of it. To tell others of so great a love. They do not have to come under the wrath of Your righteousness. They can come under the umbrella of Your love. Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight. Let them first of all settle in our own souls and our own lives. Give motivation to tell others. Your Spirit will be able to use what we've learned tonight. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.